and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It is Flames Talk on this Tuesday, May 13th, with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. Thanks for being along with us live here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts. Very, very much looking forward to our next conversation. We catch up with this gentleman a few times a year, and always a great chat with the Calgary Flames Director of Player Development. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and say hello to Ray Edwards on the program this Tuesday. Mr. Edwards, great to chat with you as always. How are you, sir?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well, doing very well. Always great to have you on. I'm curious at mid-May, what's the director of player development and his development team up to? Like, what does this time of year have in store for your crew?
I'm a bad rash with my team right now. They're because we're right in the middle of finishing up our development plan.
They can't get rid of it.
Well, yeah, and they don't want to hear from me right now. I'm bugging them way too much. They're probably like, enough already. But no, it's an important time because, as you guys know, 90% of our guys are done playing. So the main focus right now is trying to figure out, okay, what's everyone doing this summer? Where are they training? Who are they training with? You know, what are the areas of focus for each player? How can we make them better? What resources can we get to them or help with them? And so it's a lot of phone calls, a lot of research, a lot of getting the crew together. Our development call the other day, it's normally about an hour. The other day was like 3 hours. So I had to apologize profusely to the group about it. But it's an important time. And so they understand that. And they understand that this is, you know, we need to get each player off to a good start in the summer so that, in training camp, they're ready to go. That's sort of our Super Bowl is training camp. They come in and we get evaluated on what kind of summers they had. So a real important time for us.
How would you, and I know that you're still, you've still got your eyes on some players playing and you have not completely wrapped up this past year, but as you look back on this past hockey season for all the players that your group tracks, would you consider it a pretty successful year, all things considered?
I might get heaped because I think this is the best year we've ever had. I really do. I think not just because we had players that won awards and broke records and all those types of things, but the group that Todd selected from last year's draft really was a good group. And even the guys from the previous draft had really big years. So really impressed with our group this year. Obviously we had some movement with our development team with Marty going to help out with the American League team and the rest of the group happened to sort of pick up the slack. So it was a little bit of a challenge, but overall, this is one of the best years we've ever had. I just think, that group of players that the scouts picked was a great group and it made our job easy, but overall it was an outstanding season.
Well, I do have to ask you about the young man that, I don't think you can have a Flames conversation in this market without this gentleman coming up within a couple of seconds, and that is Zane Parekh. Like, we all know the great season he just had, second consecutive, just bonkers year he had in the Ontario League, but then he finishes it off with a couple weeks in the NHL and then makes his NHL debut and then goes and joins Team Canada for a little bit in some pre-tournament action ahead of the World Championship. I specifically the last few weeks, going back to joining the Flames for the rest of the season and then heading over to be with Team Canada for a little bit. We just lost Ray Edwards, so I won't continue asking my question because I heard him drop in my ear. But we will get Ray Edwards back here very shortly. I have a great question that was coming up, and I believe we have Ray back right now. So I'll reset that question with Ray here in a second. Ray, welcome back. We lost you for a second. I started asking the question, then I heard you drop, and then I was like, you know what? I'll just re-ask it right now. with specifically, I wonder with Zane and the last few weeks for him being in the NHL for a little bit, then being with Team Canada, what can stuff like that do for his development?
invaluable in the sense that, you know, he plays all year with, let's say, 17, 18, 19 year olds, and then at the junior level, and then gets to get the opportunity to jump in with our group, number one, which is led by some of the best leaders around, and be able to watch and sort of see how they operate on a day-to-day basis, and really be able to dig in with the coaches there and get extra time on the ice. And then obviously getting in the game was invaluable in terms of just, again, seeing, you know, he obviously got exhibition games, but it's just different. And again, it's the last game, and it's not a real meaningful game in terms of either team other than us. And you guys know how Husk works. Like that game was still a meaningful game for our group. They wanted to end the season the right way. I mean, and Hunter and Idar to be able to get into that game and feel what that feels like and feel that intensity and then obviously have some success and scoring was awesome. But I would say that there was other things in that game that I was watching for that made us real happy, and some real good gap situations where he was up ice and not allowing play guys to get into the zone. There were some plays that he killed in the defensive zone. I thought he did a really good job, and just overall his pace and execution was really good in that game. So can't put a price on that type of experience. And the World Championships is the same. Like, you're playing with some of the best players in the world that have played in the NHL. So just to be able to be around and watch and learn and get into a couple games of them, I know for a fact, we just actually talked the other day about it. Like, you can't put a price on that stuff for him. And so now he'll take all that information and now he'll get to work and try to add some meat to his bones and get stronger and faster over the summer.
Ray, when Pat and I were talking about Zane's performance in game 82, we were half joking that there was a moment where he had sort of a high risk play. He could have tried to make the offensive blue line and he put the puck in deep and we could see you in our minds fist pumping. Is that correct? Is that accurate?
I don't know how many times, and Zane could probably tell you better than me, but how many times I probably mentioned the live to fight another day slogan. And Chris, his coach, and Saginaw, I talked about it a lot, just trying to get him to understand that every play doesn't have to be a home run, right? There's managing the game, managing the time of the game, managing the momentum in the game, understanding those situational opportunities where, hey, this might be a time where you gotta try to make a play and beat a guy one-on-one, or it's get it under the goal line and get off the ice or live to fight another day.
What's kind of the message now, Ray, to Zane going into the summertime after all of the different things he's experienced, good and bad? He had the World Junior disappointment, then he was with Team Canada at the Worlds, he made his NHL debut, scored his first NHL goal, and obviously we know he did what he did in the OHL. What's the message to Zane now going into the summer from your group?
It's kind of twofold. The first thing right now is a little time and you know, get your bearings and get some rest and, you know, get your body in a position where you can start to grind, and that's the next step. And, you know, he'll start training here. Like, I think Ricky talked to him the other day, and he's just going to do some movement, some real simple stuff to get cranked up. And then, let's say, 1st of June, it's going to hit hard where he's going to start, you know, pumping the weights and try to put on some mass and some muscle and some strength. But we got to be real cognizant, and Ricky's great at this, of understanding that one of Zane's best assets is his agility and quickness and, you know, being able to sort of separate in those things. And what we don't want to do is get too heavy. So it's a fine line between getting stronger, faster, more powerful, but not losing that sort of quick agility and evasiveness that he has that makes him the player that he is.
We're talking with Ray Edwards, Director of Player Development for the Flames. I do want to ask you kind of a similar question on Idar Suniev after he makes his NHL debut as well. What's big for him now this summer, Ray?
Yeah, a lot of the same things. The one thing about, I don't know if you guys know this, but he's been away from family a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. And so the first thing he's going to do is he's going to get over to Europe and spend some time with them. And but while he's doing that, he'll be busy. Like, he'll, same thing. Our strength and conditioning group has him, you know, the plan for him while he's until he gets to the Northeast and gets training again. But really important for him to get some family time. Like, it's, that's a tough go. You know, you guys all know what it's like to be away from, but from family. But Idar's been going through that for a number of years, so that's number one. And then get back from there, and he'll start in that city again. You know, 1st of June, they'll really start digging in for Idar. You know, there's he's a big, powerful, strong guy now. He can continue to sort of build on that. It's, again, the skating piece is a big part. The agility, getting him to understand sort of the pro game and some of the things he's got to do as a pro. And I always, you know, one of the things we talk about with Idar is being, you know, becoming a real good power forward. So that's using his size, protecting pucks, you know, holding off defense, getting to the net, being around the net, attacking the net, and then obviously, you know, being good without the puck and using his stick and his body to get pucks back and using that size and strength to hold on to him and make plays. This guy can make plays. Everyone talks about his shooting ability and scoring ability, but he sees the ice at a high level. He can play with good players, and I think you'll see that come the fall.
Last one on that game 82, and I wanted to kind of on both the fronts of Sam Morton and Hunter Brustevich, who were the final two gents who made their NHL debuts. What kind of allowed them to be the ones tapped on the shoulder in that situation? What about this season put them right at the front of the line when Craig Conroy and Ryan Huska were looking for some players to make their debuts?
Well, I'll talk about March 1st. The one thing about Sam, and I think everybody noticed this year, he doesn't take a shift off, a game off, a practice off. This guy works, and he competes every time he's on the ice. Very, very limited minutes or games or shifts where you'd say that Sam didn't bust at that particular shift or practice or game. Like, he was committed, and so I think that was a big thing, just to reward him for that work ethic and competitiveness and just in every day. And that's hard to do, even though he's a little bit older as a sort of first year player. It's still a hard, it's still a tough ask. That many games and that short a time, you know, against men, and Sam did an amazing job doing that. So I think that was a big part. And he was really hot towards the end too. In our group, you know, we struggled a little bit down the stretch. It's not a secret, but Sam was one of the guys that kept pushing us forward. And that was the other thing with Hunter. We thought Hunter, you know, and then this is typical of young defensemen in the American Hockey League. It's an eye opener to start, but Hunter got better every game. And that last third of the season, you could argue that he was our best defenseman that last third of the season. And that's exactly why the call-up was warranted for Hunter.
We're chatting with Ray Edwards. He is the Calgary Flames Director of Player Development, joining us on this Tuesday edition of Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. Wes?
Ray, let me just pick up on something you just mentioned, and that's that Hunter Brustevich might have been the Wranglers' best defenseman for that final chunk of the season. I'm curious, you know, when Hunter is at his best, when he's in that conversation for you, what are the sort of ingredients that go into that? What is Hunter at sort of the top of his game?
He's steady, right? Makes tough plays look, and he makes a lot of them, right? So it's plays where he's going back against pressure, and all of a sudden he makes that little slip play through a stick into the middle ice, and you're out of the zone. Or it's, you know, a simple reverse to a partner, or he somehow evades that forechecker and finds the guy in the wall, and they're out of their zone. When Hunter's at his best, he's getting back quick for pucks and making that first pass to get a offensively, he's doing good things in the power play. I think you just hit the last third of the season, picked up way more points on the power play and scored some big goals in the power play, which is a focus for us, for him in the off season, to be more of a scoring threat on the power play. So those are all things he did. And then the other thing was just defensively, like he was smarter with his reads. He was quicker to close and kill plays. You know, he understood that the pace had to get, and he understood that, you know, there was times when, you know, when you're reading the rush, that you can go and kill a play. And he just had to get comfortable in that structure, understanding that if I do, you know, if everyone else is doing their job, I got to do my job. And I think once he got more comfortable doing that, we found that he was killing way more plays and stopping rushes and using his body to not only kill the play, but then get the puck and go north with it. So those are the types of things when he's at his best, he's doing.
Let me ask you about a couple junior age Flames prospects who are still playing, you know, start here in Alberta, I guess in Spokane tonight, game 3 of the WHL final. Andrew Bashaw, second round pick of the Flames last season, missed a big chunk of this year due to ankle surgery and has now returned for the championship series. How, I suppose, valuable is it from a development standpoint that there is a little more runway in this season for Andrew and that he can maybe put that injury in his rearview mirror?
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this the other day, just in the fact that, you know, being able to get into games now in high stress situations, and obviously, you know, we're all hoping they can get to the Memorial Cup, win this series, get to the Memorial Cup and have success there as well. But what's important for Andrew is that he's getting to test all the work that he put in over the last 5 months. And, you know, I give our medical group a big round of applause, right, from the doctors that end up doing the surgery and recommending what he needed to have done. And then Kent and Scott and Mike and that crew there just putting him back together after and doing the rehab and our strength and conditioning people. I don't think people understand the work that goes in, like behind the scenes that goes in on a daily basis. And that group does an outstanding job, and they did an outstanding job to get Andrew back earlier than we ever anticipated. So, and Andrew deserves a lot of credit too. He has to put the work in, but they give him a template and he had to do the work and he did that. And so good for him for getting back. And it was so good to see him out there. And that, I don't know if you, I'm sure you guys have seen the goal, but the celebration after was amazing.
Pretty good, right?
You know, we had, Jelly and Darren Romerdahl were at the game. They drove up to just support him and stuff. And they texted us. It was the first shift of the game and they scored. And then he got an assist the next game too on Lidstrom's first goal. So good for him. Obviously it's going to be a long drawn out series, and you know, we're excited to watch that game tonight.
Do you learn anything about Andrew? We always talk about, you know, guys in their first season after being drafted and what did an organization learn? And his case is obviously unique, having missed so much time. In that 5 months you talked about, did you learn anything about Andrew over that stretch?
For sure. And when you're in this business long enough, guys, you get to learn about people and how they deal with the highs and the lows of being a drafted player, being a high pick, being a free agent, being, you know, someone that maybe has dealt with stuff their whole life and found a way. You know, Andrew's situation was tough. Like, you know, I don't think we even saw Andrew at his best last year in his draft year. And then starting this year, it was the same. But this kid kept trying to fight through it and kept trying to play. And the last thing he wanted to do was stop playing and not be with his teammates. So that's one thing right there to be said, just about the character of the fact that he wanted to try to play through this and be with his teammates. And that is all the work that he put in facing that adversity and fighting and scratching and clawing to get back in with his teammates last week. And he was just so excited to be able to do it. And the work that he put in, what it does is it sort of puts a feather on top again of Todd's group and the work they do in terms of, you know, the player on the ice is one part, but it's the type of character you're drafting, the person, you know, the work ethic, the, you know, the integrity that a player has. And these guys, you know, they dig in with all that stuff. And in Andrew's case, they hit it right on the nail right on the head.
Ray, with the depth of defense prospects that the Flames organization have, the guys that you're working with as blue liners, we probably don't talk enough about Etienne Morin, or maybe it's easy to overlook Etienne sometimes. His Moncton Wildcats are now up, I believe, 2-0 in the QMJHL final. They're off to the Memorial Cup regardless because their opponents in the final are the hosts of that tournament. So you know Etienne is playing in some of the biggest games possible at the junior level. What's been sort of your assessment of his season, and where's he at as he tries to climb to the pro level?
Yeah, Etienne's an interesting guy because, you know, it hasn't just been linear with him. We've had some ups and, you know, some areas where we've had to sit down with him and just make sure he was aware that there's certain things that are sort of non-negotiable in terms of development. And the one thing about Etienne is he's been, you know, when we've had to have those tough conversations, he's responded. And that's what I would say about this year, guys, is, you know, the training camp didn't go the way he wanted. Everyone knows. And we sent him back with some real things that he had to figure out. And I give, you know, I'm a big fan of Gardner McDougal. I'm a big fan of Taylor, his son, who's a GM there. You guys know Boots, who worked with St. John's with Cousy and JP when they won the Memorial Cup. He was brought in there to help with the young defensemen. And Paul did a really good job with them along with their coaching staff. And again, it's a situation where Etienne had all the resources around him, people to help him. Zach McLean, our strength and conditioning guy, worked hand-in-hand with their people there. Obviously, Mike Stone had a big hand in Etienne's sort of development this year. But, you know, all those people are great. But if the kid doesn't want to do the work, it doesn't matter. And what Etienne did is he dug in and he did the work, and his game is reaping the benefits. I just watched the game from the other night. He played 39 minutes, I think, close to 39 minutes. He had 3 assists. He was on for all 4 goals, including the overtime winner and double overtime. And this guy just looks like a mature, a mature player that looks like he understands now that there's more to the game than just offense. And, you know, when we drafted him, he was a highly, highly sought after offensive talent, but, you know, there was areas of the game without the puck that he had to get much better at and play with more pace. And he's doing that. Hey, there's still a long way to go there with a young junior kid, but the improvements and steps he's taken this year have been amazing, and give him a lot of the credit for digging in and getting the work done.
Ray, one more from me. This is awesome as always. And this is something that I've been wondering as I, you know, watch the Stanley Cup playoffs and you see the sort of factor that speed and skating can be. That doesn't come as any surprise, I don't think, to us. But I'm curious, like, when you look at the Flames prospect pipeline, who are the guys that jump out because of skating ability? Like, who would be the best skaters coming up in the system right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I was just thinking about this, you know, and there's, you know, for different positions, I think it's different, right? So I think on the back end, I think Zane probably goes to the top of the list for me just because of how evasive he is, how great he is on his edges. I mean, we've all seen him when he goes around the outside and he's 10-2 and he's using those inside edges and he's got that deception and he's got that quickness to separate. And it's only going to get better as he gets stronger, right? That power, like I would say he's quick and he's evasive and he's got great agility. The next step for him is to sort of add that power where he can really separate and hold off players as he's doing it. And then up front, it's a tough one, but I think probably I would say Gridden. Matt, they just, I mean, I think Wes, you and I were talking about him the other day where you know, we've seen a handful of clips where he just blows away the people he's out in the ice with, and it's not even close. And so I think with Matvei, it's more of like just getting him to do it more often because we know he has it. And he's a big, strong guy now, so he will get bigger and stronger. But he's 195, almost 200 pounds now. He's becoming a man, and when that takes the next step, it's only going to be better. So if I had to pick one forward, one defense, I'd probably go with Matvei and Zane. On the back end, Eric Jamieson's a really nice, smooth skater, different player than Zane, but his skating ability really helps him in terms of playing the way we need him to play. You know, Andrew Bascha, we just talked about Bascha. Bascha has a lot of quickness. Like, he can separate, you know, he can get away from people. He can get into holes, and he plays that give-and-go game really well. But again, he's got to get more powerful and just add more, you know, more strength and power to his stride. But, you know, I'd say Matvei and Zane probably would lead the rankings for me.
We're chatting with Ray Edwards. Two more for you, Ray. And as always, appreciate the time. He's the director of player development for the Flames. One more on an individual player. And I thought it was a good way to wrap it up because he finished the year not just with one game, but with multiple games making a significant impact on the Flames. And that's Adam Klapka. I just, from your standpoint, that's now three seasons in the organization for Klapka. How much of a success story do you and your development crew look at him as?
Well, I mean, you know, Adam was a bit of an unknown, right? So we got him, our pro scouts and amateur scouts identified him in Europe. We brought him over, and I remember my first conversation with him because the number one thing they said to me was, you know, Adam's a very raw kid and player. So, like, he was just in terms of playing pro hockey, it was all new to him. He didn't understand sort of all the things that went along with development and what we had to do. So I remember, you know, he came over and he was going to come to Calgary to train. And he had a really good group in Kamloops that he loved to train with. And all we said to Adam was, and I talked to the guy there a bunch of times, and we went through a lot of the information, but it was like, you know, this has to be a good summer in terms of his body and getting stronger. And he did boxing lessons, and they trained in the woods. It was almost like the Rocky Balboa type of training, but it toughened him up and made him harder. And it was, if you ask Adam, he'll tell you this, like, you know, we brought him to Calgary and he asked to go back to Kamloops because he really thought what they were doing there was helping him. And I agree with him. He did an amazing job there. He came in, you know, and like a lot of first year pros in the American League, it was a learning curve for him. And I give Mitch Love a lot of credit and Don Knockbauer and Joe and our development team. And then Trent did an amazing job with him in his year. So, I mean, that whole experience in the American Hockey League, like Brad Pascal, as you guys know, the culture that they have there is unbelievable for development. They don't, no stone is unturned in terms of if we think we need to do something from a development standpoint, we try to do it. And Brad's amazing at allowing us to get the time we need, whether it's Danielle working with him or, you know, our skills people or strengths people, whatever it is. But the coaches have done an amazing job with him. And, you know, good on Adam for figuring this out and this year really sort of cementing a role for himself at the NHL level.
Yeah. Ray, what happens with your group? You got, as you talked about, you're all over your group right now as your year-end stuff is going on. What else? I mean, you got development camp in the summer. What else is the focus as we move towards the summertime?
Yeah, the big things right now are finishing up these development plans and then making sure that, you know, we can put a plan together, guys, as you know, but it's the follow-up that matters, right? So it's making sure we're checking in with these kids on a weekly basis. And it's not just their development coach. It's Danielle. It's the skills people. It's the strength and conditioning people. It's Matt Brown. It's, you know, our nutritionist. I mean, all those areas have to be on point. And so it's one thing to put the plan together, but the bigger piece is the execution of it or the action items of it. So that takes precedent right now. And then obviously we are focusing on development camp this year. It's going to be a smaller group. We're focusing more on sort of our draft picks and our kids, where in the past we may have a bigger group, but we just felt like this year we wanted to really dig in with, you know, we've got so many of our own guys now and our own draft picks that we really wanted to focus in on them. So it will be a little bit different. You know, we're focusing solely on skill development and strength and conditioning development while they're with us, and we'll do some fun. We're going to rush them up to Banff and Lake Louise for a day for a nice hike. And we've got a great speaker coming in, Jamie Clark, who's just an amazing, amazing human. And he's going to speak to the group about his adventures climbing Mount Everest. And that's always a great hour, an hour and a half with Jamie. So I think it'll be a great development camp, and we're looking forward to getting everyone together.
Ray, as always, we appreciate the time. It is always great to catch up. We love doing it, and we'll do it again. I'm sure we'll talk to you at development camp as we move closer to it after the draft. So good luck on the rest of the rest of the season and all the things you've got to do before your development season comes to an end. But honestly, thanks so much, as always, for the time. Hey?
Guys, love doing it anytime. I'm always around, so thanks so much for having me.
He is Ray Edwards. He is the Calgary Flames Director of Player Development. Awesome stuff with Ray, as always. I know both Wes
always,
and I
yeah.
Always look forward to chatting with Ray. And he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to wrap up the segment, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.